ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
When Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced a federal inquiry into the COVID-19 pandemic response last week, one of the criticisms was that it will lack the powers of a royal commission. Across the ditch in New Zealand, a royal commission into the country's COVID response is well underway. Australia and New Zealand employed border closures, school closures and lockdowns to contain the spread of the virus, measures which became increasingly controversial as vaccines became widely available. The man leading the New Zealand Royal Commission is Melbourne University epidemiologist Professor Tony Blakely, a familiar face and voice here in Australia. I spoke to him a short time ago. Tony Blakely, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What are the main differences between the inquiry the Australian government recently announced and that which began earlier this year in New Zealand?
Two main differences. The first one, the inquiry in New Zealand is a royal commission. And the second one is that the inquiry in New Zealand is broader and that includes all aspects, which includes things like lockdowns. And if you look back at the Australian inquiry, because that was largely a state-led activity, it's not quite in the terms of reference in the Australian inquiry.
There's been criticism of Australia's inquiry for not being able to probe the decisions made by the states. You mentioned lockdowns, for instance. Is there any way the inquiry can look at those matters?
I believe so, yes. But let's just pull back a sec. For an inquiry that's launched by a federal and Commonwealth government, I think the terms of reference are excellent. They're as broad as they can possibly be. The issue is that a lot of the activity was done by the states. If you then look again closely at the terms of reference, it says that things that are out of scope for the Australian inquiry are those unilaterally taken by the states. But a lot of discussions about how we did public health and social measures, whether we closed schools or left them open, a lot of those discussions happened at National Cabinet, happened at the AHPPC meetings. So I don't see why a wide-ranging and wide-thinking Australian inquiry cannot talk to those matters.
Why is it so important to look at things like lockdowns and school closures?
We've got a lot to learn, and I feel a bit in the hot seat myself here. I was part of the advisory, all that sort of activity in 2020 and 2021. We've learned a lot since then. I'll speak to Taiwan. Taiwan did not use lockdowns, but successfully executed an elimination strategy. How did they do that? Well, they had had SARS-1. They were used to it. They had higher mask wearing, and they had a society that was more set up. They had a CDC. They had better contact tracing. So my hope is that inquiries, both sides of the Tasman here, can really lay out a roadmap for how to manage a future pandemic with less chance of needing things like lockdowns. You can never take them off the table, but we can improve our contact tracing. We can improve our ability to scale up testing. We can improve our ability to get people wearing masks. All these types of things mean that next time round, hopefully, we can do it a lot better.
New Zealand's approach to the pandemic was really somewhat similar to Australia's. How is that being viewed in hindsight?
Yes, there were different flavours, if you like. So New Zealand went hard, really hard early and achieved that elimination quickly. Victoria was sort of down that end of the spectrum. New South Wales was not laissez-faire, but a little bit further towards that end of the spectrum. That gives us some natural experiments. We can compare across those things. And I think we can get some good learnings from the, you know, eight states and territories of Australia and New Zealand as comparisons.
The reporting deadline for the Australian inquiry is comparatively tight. It's actually the same day as the New Zealand inquiry, even though ours hasn't started yet. Is that enough time?
Both are due to report on the 30th of September. That'll be quite a day. I think it's a big ask for the Australian inquiry to conduct all their business in 12 months, particularly if the public engagement is broad. And I don't know what the intentions of the incoming commissioners in the Australian inquiry is, but if that public engagement is broad, I think doing it in 12 months is a big ask. If the public engagement is kept reasonably light and it's largely a desktop exercise looking at all previously published reports and targeted engagement, then it could probably be pulled off in 12 months.
You've spoken to me about ways that you think that the Australian inquiry can be broader to look at the other things that you think are important. But wouldn't it just be easier to have a royal commission?
Royal Commission. In New Zealand, A Royal Commission can be one of two ways. The first is a legal hearing Royal Commission we're used to. That's not how we're doing it in New Zealand. We're doing it a second way, which is very much a range of confidential meetings, really just getting to talk to people freely and frankly and doing the business that way and getting quite efficiently through it. A Royal Commission done in the Australian context would be more legalistic. I'm not sure that that's the best way to go about it because it naturally gravitates towards more blame finding. So I think the way the inquiry is set up in Australia is appropriate. I don't think it needs to be a Royal Commission as long as it has enough powers to compel people to come before it if need be. In my experience so far in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we haven't needed to compel anybody to come before us. Everybody's keen to come forward and help with extracting those lessons learned, which underlines the importance of emphasising that it's a lessons learned exercise, and that makes it safe for people to come forward and really contribute to that.
A major international study found that lockdowns were too long and ultimately ineffective. Has that formed part of the Royal Commission you're leading?
There's many studies. That's just one of them. On the issue of lockdowns, let's have a little look at it. I think both Victoria and New Zealand probably had lockdowns that went on for a bit long, and I can say that without disclosing our deliberations because there's a number of people saying that. For example, the current Prime Minister of New Zealand, Chris Hipkins, has even mused aloud that they held on for too long in Auckland. I think what happened here is that we really emphasised the harms of COVID, which was appropriate, but it created a culture that was a bit too fearful, and we weren't able to pivot and move out of that approach, the elimination approach, into more living with the virus approach as easily as might have been the case. But it's a very tricky transition to make.
Look, that study, and you say it's one of many, and that's right, but it did find that school closures were a mistake. Do you think school closures are a really important part of both your investigation but also the Australian investigation, the impact on young people?
Yeah, two important things to say here. The first one is you just can't say closing schools was good or bad. It depends on what you're trying to do. If you're in the throes of really trying to eliminate and you've got substantial circulation in the community, you need to shut the schools. It's an unfortunate reality if you're going to get rid of that transmission quickly. But if you've got low transmission in your community or you're getting ready or you're even practicing living with the virus, then the schools should stay open, because you can't damage our future generation, which is my second point. One thing that really bothers me, I wear the weight on my shoulders quite a bit, is the effect that this pandemic had on young people, and particularly through schools and educational scarring. Most children came through it pretty well, but for marginalised children, children who were on the other side of the digital divide and didn't good have access to devices, etc., it was a pretty bad experience, and we need to learn from that and be ready to do that better next time around.
Now, as you no doubt know, Daniel Andrews is moving on from being Premier of Victoria. One of the lasting criticisms of Daniel Andrews was the use of these lockdowns. You were responsible for the modelling the exits from lockdowns were based on. Do you think the Victorian government just went too hard?
I'm taking off my New Zealand Royal Commission hat and speaking as a University of Melbourne academic here. In 2020, yes, we did. I was part of modelling for the second lockdown, and that worked and that we achieved elimination. In 2021, I'm on the record as having said that I think we held on too long. And I used the metaphor of bridging over because, you know, our vaccine coverage was going up. I believe we could have come out of some of those lockdowns a bit earlier, except that there'll be some increase in cases. But as we were rapidly vaccinating people, we would have bridged over without too much COVID harm and less harm in other areas of society. So, yes, I think we did hold on a bit too long to some of those lockdowns in Victoria in 2021.
Tony, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
And that's Professor Tony Blakely, Chair of the New Zealand Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.